Welcome to the Under the Capes podcast, your geek business guide. We're going under the capes of bloggers, cosplayers, artists, and other entrepreneurs to show you how they have built a following around what they love. I'm your host, Tim Ludi, and today we're going under the cape of Hall H. How's it going, everyone? Hope you had a great weekend. I had an awesome weekend. I got to go to a comic shop near my hometown. That's Entertainment in Worcester, which is it's an awesome spot. I just kind of popped in to check out what they got new going on there. And then I went over to Coney Island Hot Dogs, because I had a cookout on Saturday, so I fell a little bit off the wagon on the old diet. My guest this week will be happy with one of the things I did this weekend, not so happy with the other. It's Aaron from The Hall H Show and from SDCC Fit. So he will be happy that I went to a comic shop, because The Hall H Show is all about celebrating, you know, comic book artists and creators that have been a little bit overshadowed at things like San Diego Comic-Con by all the movie and TV stars. And he also is involved with SDCC Fit, where they encourage people to see San Diego Comic-Con as a benchmark of the year to kind of get fit and healthy and prepare year-round for the convention and just for life. SDCC Fit has a great tagline by Aaron. It's getting fit for SDCC and for life. So, Hall H, it's a news and media blog covering the comic book and pop culture universe, providing exclusive interviews with artists, writers, and other creatives, as well as introspective commentary about comic books, movies, television, anime, manga, collectibles, poster art, San Diego Comic-Con, and more. Aaron co-founded Hall H with Alex Benedicto and Ed Santos in 2014, and its mission is to pay homage to the past while also looking forward to the future by being a promoter of emerging talent and non-mainstream works that deserve more attention. And that's one thing that Aaron really highlights well on the podcast, is the idea of and the importance of having a mission. So the mission of their podcast is really to highlight all those artists and up-and-comers. The mission of SDCC Fit is to kind of help the Comic-Con community to stay healthy and active while working towards San Diego Comic-Con as kind of their goal. And we also talk about the goal that Hall H has for this year's San Diego Comic-Con. It's a really cool, specific goal that they're going to be tackling this year. And it was a really great interview. So let's dive right in. All right. So I'm now joined with Aaron from The Hall H Show. Aaron, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you for asking. It's a pleasure to be on Under the Capes with you.
So can you tell us a little bit about your origin story, kind of what was your intro to the Comic-Con community and how that became Hall H?
Well, sure. I guess I can go all the way back to back in the day. I guess we can go back to maybe 1995.
Oh, wow.
That was probably my first San Diego Comic-Con. A friend of mine, he was an inker for Image Comics, and he got me some free passes. So I'm going to go check it out. And his name is Salim. So props to Salim. Thank you so much. So it was a really eye-opening experience. You know, even back then, it was huge to me. You know, you got to walk around and you got to meet, you know, the artists and other creators that made the comic books that, you know, that you read every week, you know? So it was cool. Fast forward a little bit, you know, to, I guess maybe, 2014. You know, I had, you know, obviously when you start to grow up, you have adult things to do, you know, like work. So, I would go to Comic-Con sporadically. I didn't go for like, you know, 20 years straight or anything like that. Yeah. I would go every so often because the tickets were, you know, easy to get. It's not like now where, you know, they sell out, you know,
yeah, if you miss
right
the
away.
Year now, you're, who knows what could happen.
Exactly. So, in conversation, me and Alex, I had moved up to Orange County. I grew up in San Diego, but I moved up to Orange County, did like the corporate thing for like 10 years. So when I came back, it's like, you know, I was reconnecting with all these people that I went to school with, Alex being one of them. There was actually another co-founder. His name is Ed Santos. I'm going to give a shout out to him. He's not really active with us anymore, but he was initially there in the beginning. So all three of us had met up at a, I'd say it was like a tea shop, you know, just to hang out and chill and catch up. Then Alex says, hey, you know what? I have the HallH.com domain name. Turns out he's had it since like 2011. Surprisingly, you know, I guess nobody had ever snatched it up. So I said, no bleep, we should do something about that. Because we had always wanted to do something together and collaborate. And with, you know, blogging starting to take off, I've always wanted to start a blog myself. So this seemed like an incredible opportunity for us to do something with HallH.com. But then again, you know, we're all busy. There's no way that we could compete with like Collider or IGN or, you know, even Nerdist. So we kind of thought about it and we kind of thought, you know, we need to find our own little niche, a niche that, you know, that'd be, you know, something that we would enjoy covering. So we kind of decided we'd sort of do like a, you know, we focus on artists and creatives, writers, you know, photographers, cosplayers, because, like I said earlier, when we were kids, Artist Alley was where where it was at. These days, it seems like Artist Alley is sort of pushed aside a little bit, you know, to make way for Hall H,
yeah.
All the mainstream Hollywood stuff, you know, promoting their exclusive stuff, which I have no problem with. I mean, it is what it is. It's, you know, it's part of what's, you know, increased the attention that, you know, our comic book and pop culture, has brought to, you know, up to this point. Cause without Hollywood, I mean, San Diego Comic-Con wouldn't be able to go to this point.
Right.
So,
it's much bigger, but the Artist Alley people and the people you feature are kind of the old heroes of the Comic-Con.
So, exactly. So we kind of thought, you know, there's something we can do to help them out. And so that's what we decided. Our focus was going to be on the artists. So, you know, you hear Avengers Assemble. Our other hashtag besides Hall H Show is Artists Assemble. So that's our mission, to give the Hall H spotlight to, you know, artists and other creators that we feel deserve the attention, especially emerging artists. I mean, there's people out there who are starting to do, you know, Kickstarter campaigns and starting to approach us. You know, they have a comic book. They're independent comic book creators and they want to, you know, promote their Kickstarter campaign. For example, Jupiter Jet, it's the creators of Jupiter Jet, Jason Inman and Ashley Robinson. They're both part of this awesome podcast called, I guess, Geek History Lesson, where they sort of, you know, delve into, say, Nightwing, and they give you the history 101 on Nightwing and you know, a little bit more, you know, so they kind of break it down. It's a really fun show, so you should probably check it out when you get a chance. So they're husband and wife team, and they decided to create a comic book of their own. So they contacted us, and we drove up to Encino, and we did a podcast at some restaurant. So It was pretty cool. You hear the clanging in the background and people talking in the background. But, you know, we sort of preface it in the beginning. And it's fine. You know, it's part of the experience. So, and then another friend of ours who we've met through another friend. This friend, his name is Keithan Jones. He actually went to school with Alex, and they have a mutual friend named Bobby Rubio. Bobby Rubio is currently a storyboard artist at Pixar. So, you know, he's starting to get some renown of his own. But back to Keithan Jones. Keithan Jones is he's a graphic designer like myself, and he had this itch to, you know, create a comic book of his own, you know, and it was pretty much, you know, now or never. So he decided to create his own publishing company called Kid Comics. So his tagline is, "The kid in you never dies." Nice. So, you know, I always try to promote him as much as possible because he's trying to connect with other like-minded individuals out there who want to create their own projects. So they're using Kid Comics as an umbrella to launch their own projects. So he's had a few successful Kickstarter campaigns ever since we met him at San Diego Comic Con last year. So he's been a guest on our podcast a couple of times. So, I mean, there's just two examples of creators out there who are starting to do their own thing. And to be honest with you, I enjoy hearing their stories and promoting them as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that's so cool that you like started it with a real clear mission as far as like highlighting these artists that and the guests that you've had on are really cool. Some awesome artists and the things they're creating. How have you kind of reached out to them? You know, you told a couple stories, but have those been mostly personal connections like that, or have you had to reach out to people you didn't know? What's the
It's a very good question. A lot of it is just whatever interests us, really. like our first guest was, I don't know if you know who Tony Kim is, Crazy for Comic-Con.
Yeah, that was an awesome episode. Yeah,
okay, cool. Thank you. I mean, we kept in touch throughout the years. You know, I first met him at his Game of Bloggers meetup at San Diego Comic-Con a few years ago. So, and, he's showing us how a very good example on how to sort of, you know, not only, you know, do what you're passionate about, but actually, you know, make a business out of it. You know, just, he's just an awesome guy and an inspiration to me and Alex. So when we decided to, you know, who we're going to have for our first, you know, guest,
yeah,
it was pretty much a no brainer. It had to be Tony. So, and really it's when we go to these conventions, you know, it's cool that we're engaging with people at Artist Alley. You know, one, it's because we're fans of a lot of these people. And two, it's to sort of think, oh, I think they'd make a good guest on our podcast. And, you know, like I said, Todd McFarlane doesn't need any attention, you know. Mm-hmm. But it'd be cool to have him on the podcast, true. But, you know, we're looking out for people out there who, you know, could use the extra push to sort of promote their work. So our third guest, his name was Eric Mielotowski. He's had some success doing comic books here and there. He does an awesome, you know, cover work, sketchbooks, and we kind of thought, you know, this guy is, you know, he's cool. We've met him a few times, and I think the first time we met him was at Free Comic Book Day a couple of years ago. He was presenting or sort of exhibiting at a local comic book shop. So we struck up a conversation. We kept in touch, you know, through social media, online. We'd see him at conventions every so often. So a lot of it is just, you know, just striking up a conversation with people who we think are interesting and following up with them regularly and, mm-hmm. You know, promoting them online whenever we can. And then eventually they agreed to be a guest on our podcast. So yeah. That's usually how it works. I mean, it's not, you can't expect to ask, and not give anything in return. So I think that's the main point of how we do outreach. Another person, Susan Botello. She is the creator of the International Mobile Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And at last year's San Diego Comic-Con, obviously, we were there for, you know, 5 days and, you know, including preview night. And I had some time to myself, actually, you know, to attend a couple of panels because we were, you know, busy trying to drum up some content. And so I looked at the schedule and then, you know, I was always interested at, you know, on how the mobile device or smartphones can be used for things like, you know, movies or TV shows, because I think, I don't know if you ever watched House, the TV show.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was the first show where they actually used a camera, a DSLR, I think the Canon 5D Mark II or something like that, and to actually film a few episodes.
Really?
So when I heard about, yeah, when I heard about that a few years ago, I kind of thought, what if they used like a smartphone? That'd be kind of cool, you know? So when I saw this panel, like her panel, I was like, ooh, I got to check this out. And it turned out being to be one of the most like interesting panels that I've seen in a long time at Comic-Con. So we, you know, I walked up to her, introduced myself, and we, you know, we talked for a little bit, and then we kept in touch on social media. And then, when an opportunity presented itself, she was like planning, I guess, for her next year's International Mobile Film Festival. I said, you know, can we have you on the show so you can, you know, sort of talk about it a little bit? I mean, especially since she's here in San Diego. I think that's another thing. Being in San Diego, there's a wealth of talent over here that, you know, we could probably talk for a few years with just San Diego people alone, and have, you know, enough episodes, you know, to satisfy our curiosity. But back to Susan, we struck up a conversation, we got to know each other, and when she came on, that episode lasted for like almost, oh, definitely over 2 hours. So yeah. we could easily talk to her for another 2 hours. So really it's about enjoying the conversation in the moment, hearing the stories. And I guess for our show, we don't have like a set format. Everything's kind of random. I know some people try to keep it, you know, under an hour or like a certain time frame. They try to come out every Wednesday. But, you know, I think we've gone to a point where our audience are, you know, they can see how our schedule is, and we try to put stuff whenever we can. But there's not really a set schedule. So I think that's, you know, our benefit, because we can just concentrate on just providing content, the best content that we can. And we're learning as we go. I mean, obviously the first few episodes, we had some sound issues, but, you know, we sort of are getting better with our sound, with our editing. And especially with the mobile device and the smartphone that Susan is all about, we're starting to get into video now. And it all stemmed from our meeting Susan, because there's possibilities there that we're starting to explore. She asked us on our second episode if we could do a red carpet podcast at her show. So we thought that was pretty interesting, because, you know, as I said, we're trying to do video now. That'd be a good opportunity to sort of incorporate video into our podcast. So, and it was such a unique experience, because you get these filmmakers that travel from around the world to come to a festival, and you get to get these different perspectives. It's so awesome. We had people from Australia, Germany, Chile, even Canada. And in the past, Susan said that she had people from Macedonia, from I think Singapore, Malaysia. So it's really interesting. And I left that 3-day event just feeling so inspired, and it got me thinking, if we ever made a mobile movie of our own, like me and Alex, what would it be? And we kind of both, you know, thought of it for a few minutes, and then we kind of said documentaries. Yeah. We would probably make a documentary of some sort, showcasing, you know, comic book and pop culture people. We'd probably call it something like I Am Comic-Con or something like that. So,
cool. Yeah, because I mean, and going into live video, like you're already doing every episode of the show live recording. So, like, yeah. That's a whole hurdle on its own that you've kind of figured
it
out.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I haven't done a live show the way Leonard does, you know, but that takes a certain skill set. He's pretty sharp and quick-witted. So, and he's good at that stuff.
Yeah, and that's a whole other technical issues that you have to worry about.
Right. And I've been a guest on his show every once in a while, like at WonderCon, or if we're talking about SDCC Fit. But especially at the shows, obviously, with, you know, we have connectivity issues every so often. So, you know, we have to, like, somebody will cut out, or, you know, I had had a few troubles trying to connect with them a few times. So, you know, that's all part of the show as well.
But yeah, when you're doing a show like in line or, you know, some of the on location shows that you've done, is pretty cool.
Right.
And yeah, so the Susan episode too, it was 2 hours long, but it didn't really feel like that because there was, I think you had like 3 guests on that episode.
The second episode we had with Susan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that show had both me and my co-host, Alex Benedicto. We had Tracy, the hot nerd girl herself. Mm-hmm. She was part of the Star Wars steampunk universe. So, and we also had a filmmaker, Anthony Dela Cruz, who had submitted a mobile film previously. So Susan thought that he might be a good guest for the show. And the reason why they were pretty much on the show is because Susan had asked me, oh, do you know any cosplayers? And the idea that she had was that these cosplayers could add some flavor to the red carpet and the awards night. Mm-hmm. So they would act as ushers on the red carpet. You know, it's when the awards were announced or when they were, you know, being brought to the red carpet, they would act as ushers. And then I asked Alex, and then he had the idea, oh, we should talk to Tracy. You know, so thanks to Tracy and, you know, Star Wars Deep Punk Universe for being game and deciding to make that show, just kick it up a few notches. And Anthony, in the previous year, he submitted a movie, and his daughter was interested as well. She's like 11 years old. And so she wanted to submit a movie as well. And she did this pretty unique movie that had like stop motion on there. Yeah. It was a movie about bullying, against like deaf people. So it was an interesting concept. So you had a father and daughter submit movies to a festival. And then you also had, she was the youngest, and we also had the oldest contributor. She was like 80, I think she's 82 years old. So we have, it was kind of weird. It was awesome seeing that sort of juxtaposition, you know. And so when we had both all of them on the podcast, we just talked about a lot of things on that show. It was like you said, it was just a conversation. And it could have gone on for a few more hours for sure.
Yeah, and that's so cool having like 11-year-olds and 80-year-olds all using mobile phones.
Right, it's so cool. Yeah.
But you've had multiple guests on a few times. What's that? Has that been an added challenge, or do you think it makes it easier because you have a lot more people to bounce off of? Like 3 guests seems pretty challenging to me.
Well, I guess my thought process is I sort of have an idea of how the conversation, you know, the way I want it to go. There's a few points, you know, especially with that episode, obviously we're there to talk about the International Mobile Film Festival. So, you know, Susan can talk by herself for hours, you know. So when you have guests that, you know, don't need any prodding to get content out of them, that's even better. So she has all these stories of her own that you know, she loves to talk about and share. So I allotted for that. And I also wanted to cover the points about the International Mobile Film Festival and also the contributions that Tracy and Anthony, were going to do themselves. So, and also prepare what I call thunder round questions. It's like our off the beaten path questions. And usually I have a list of 7 or 10 questions that I may ask, but I usually ask maybe 5 just because I sort of gauge how our conversation's going. So, there's that sort of round of questions. And I also want to, since our show is also, you know, centered around creatives and artists, I also have an art watch round that I try to sort of put in there as well. So, that's probably the reason why our our episodes are kind of long is because obviously, yeah, we have the conversation about the content that they were there for, but also have these North London round and Art Watch rounds. Just because, you know, like I said, Art Watch is important to us. But also Thunder Round, it's sort of like, it gives me an opportunity to sort of get into the psyche and the psychology of a person. Mm-hmm. Because when I was a manager up in for a long time, and I used to interview a lot of people, and you know, after asking the same mundane questions about, you know, where do you see yourself in, you know, X amount of years, or you know, how do you see yourself in a you know, these type of situations, blah 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 blah. Yeah. I started asking questions like, if I give you $1 million, what would you do? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the stuff to sort of make them think right off the bat, because you can have, you know, the best experience in the world, but if you can't think on your feet, I don't want you on my team. Yeah. You know, so that's what it kind of stems from. That's what the Thunder Round kind of stems from, is these random questions that I would ask people that I was thinking about hiring. So when I'm interviewing people, it's really, yeah, there's stuff that I want to ask them, and I want to steer the conversation toward, but then again, it's also being observant of, you know, their visual cues, or, you know, if they're sort of hesitant about asking a few questions, I won't go that direction, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and the different sections kind of help break it up. I've been considering adding some different segments to mine just to break it up a little bit. But
And I think it's important. I need to give a shout out to Sully from the Nerd Foo, because when I was thinking about starting a podcast for us, he was one of the first people that I reached out to. And he gave me I emailed him, and he gave me an encyclopedia, you know, worth of information. And he said, yeah, you know, make sure you have like segments in there to help make up, you know, give yourself, a system, you know, so that you don't just meander, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And their podcast is like super well organized. So
it is. You know, they have their unique twists on their sections as well, but yeah, you know how their show is. On each time you hear it, it's going to have these different sections, and you can expect, you know, the same amount of awesome, you know, content for each section that they do, you know, every week. So I always look forward to listening to their podcast.
Yeah, that's a good one. So another thing that you have going on in addition to the show is SDCC Fit. How did that come about?
That's something near and dear to my heart. I can't take credit for creating the SDCC Fit hashtag, mm-hmm. but I will take credit for stoking the flames and championing it. I think I tried to do a search for it like last year. I think the earliest reference I have for the hashtag on Twitter might be 2013-ish, maybe 14. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, what inspired me to sort of get this movement going was Alyssa Franks, Leonard's co-host on Cup of Tea SDCC. She herself is a big champion of getting fit for, you know, San Diego Comic-Con and for any con. She goes to a lot of cons herself. So she's always talking about it. I don't know if you know who Jeff Mueller is, the Mighty Jerd.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a good name to write down. He'd be a good guest on your show as well. He's really passionate about geek fitness. In fact, his moniker, Jerd, is like it's a mashup of Jerd and Jock and Nerd.
Oh, okay.
So that's his thing. He's he's in the health. He's a badass Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner.
Yeah.
So he's in the health. He's into, you know, geek culture. He's an avid comic book reader. He has a podcast on comic books as well. So, he's just talking to those two on the few podcasts that we've been on together. That inspired me to. A lot of it was to keep me in check as well, to motivate myself. Mm-hmm. And if I can motivate other people, then that's even better.
Yeah, if you're talking about it online, you probably got to stick with it yourself.
Exactly. So, and I was surprised that people have decided to sort of, you know, take it, but as well, because Jeff had told me before that, you know, he's done it a few times, you know, try to create a movement to spur, you know, nerds and geeks to get healthy before San Diego Comic-Con, but nothing's ever stuck. But for some reason, the hashtag SDCCFit, you know, seemed to work.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was a combination of just my constant tweets or I don't know, but it seemed to have like a pretty good amount of buzz. And last year was pretty cool, but even this year, it seemed to pick up even more. There's somebody that I started doing this Thursday thank you thing. Just thanking somebody every Thursday, just because I think gratitude is important to me. That's because, you know, I couldn't get where I'm at today without the help of other people. So I always try to say thank you whenever I can.
Yeah.
Her name is Vanessa. She goes by, I think it goes by, A Pirate's Life for V on Twitter. So, I thanked her last week because she's part of this Facebook group and she wanted to like promote SDCC Fit on there. And like she messaged me on Twitter to say, yeah, is it cool if I mention you guys, you know, on Facebook? And I said, hell yeah, add me on there too. So, there's like, I don't know, 2,500 people in that group. So just imagine the additional reach we can have on, you know, more nerds and geeks trying to get healthy for San Diego Comic-Con. And the tagline that I came up with was, it's SDCC Fit, getting fit for SDCC, the ellipse, and for life. Cause I think that's the important thing. Getting fit for SDCC is the first step, but really it's about having a healthy lifestyle for the rest of your life, you know, really.
Yeah, because it's good to have that one, like, benchmark event that you're trying to get fit for, but then it does have to be kind of 20 or 365.
Right, and I think SDCC, I think, here's my theory. I think the reason why the SDCC Fit hashtag worked is because, it's like you said, it's an event. Yeah. It's not just any event. It's San Diego Comic-Con. This might be the most biggest singular event, you know. It's like nerd mecca, really. So when people think, oh, I need to get ready for this, or when they realize why they have to, I mean, for me, I walked like 32 miles last year.
Yeah, you know? I mean, even not even just looking good for Comic-Con, it's you're gonna put some miles in.
Exactly.
I probably put over 30 myself.
Awesome, yeah. And then it's not just about that. I mean, it also sort of gravitates to talks about, oh, what kind of shoes should I wear? Because shoes are important. What kind of, and then it'll go to what kind of clothes do I wear, or, you know, what kind of healthy snacks can I bring? You know, what kind of bag do I use? You know, so it sort of goes into the whole experience and trying to make that experience even better than what it could be if you didn't do SDCC Fit. So using SDCC Fit as, you know, using SDCC as motivation to get healthy. It's just like you said, it's the first step, but really it's the end goal is to have a more healthy life in general.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of SDCC, what are your plans for this year's convention?
Let's see, this year. What Alex had bought this, we had attended a sort of Hero Initiative exhibit down at the San Diego Comic Gallery here in Liberty Station, and the gallery is owned by IDW, but 100 artists contributed 100 like sort of sketch covers, and they had a, you know, exhibit of all 100 covers there, and then they eventually compiled all the covers into a book. So Alex had bought the book, and we kind of thought, you know, we should get all the artists that are in this book to sign it. And we'll get a picture with them, and cool. But then I kind of thought, why don't we get video of them you know, we'll ask him two questions. Who's your favorite, you know, Ninja Turtle character, and why is it important to support Hero Initiative? Mm-hmm. So, and what Hero Initiative is basically an organization, and they help, you know, other artists who are, you know, a little bit older, who can't support themselves. They, you know, they help them out. So, and I think that's an important endeavor, and it'd be cool to have these artists sort of, you know, tell us from their point of view why they contributed to the project. And so eventually we're going to sort of compile all the videos into like one little thing. It'd be kind of cool to present. We have five already, which we got at a recent convention that we went to called what was it called? Comic-Con Revolution. It was at Ontario, California, not Canada. No, so yeah. It was a one-day show. It was, I think, a few of the organizers of that show have been involved with like Long Beach Comic-Con and I think a few lead pop shows. So even for a one-day show and their inaugural show, it was well run, and it was slick. It was like this is their first show. Like you can believe it. It was like so well run. So I guess I heard that they thought that they had good enough buzz and a good enough show that they're gonna have two days next year. So we're looking forward to going there. And the thing about intimate shows is that you get access to all the artists in there without long lines. So that's something that we love to do. We love these, you know, intimate shows like Comic-Con Revolution. There's another one that we go to at the end of the year called Designer Con in Pasadena. It's like a huge artist alley. You know, it's just all the creative energy in there is so awesome. And we're looking forward to doing a couple podcasts in there that we've already talked to a few people already that we got lined up. Mm-hmm. So, but back to San Diego Comic-Con, our plan is to continue to see what artists show up that contributed to that book and get more videos of them sort of, you know, telling them why it's important to contribute to or to support Hero Initiative. There's a few artists out there that we have yet to sort of, you know, talk to, like, let's see, Wills Portacio. He's actually here in San Diego in Temecula. So we got him to talk a little bit on the Hero Initiative video that we took, because he was at Comic-Con Revolution. But it'd be cool to have him on a more in-depth interview, because, I mean, he was there in the beginning of the formation of Image Comics, and he's one of my favorite artists. I mean, just I still have, you know, his Wet Works number one and all that. So it'd be cool to have him on the podcast. There's just a whole slew of artists out there that we want to have on the podcast, and I think you just never know how Comic-Con's going to go. So I told people this, you know, how like when people were going to get, you know, were lining up to get badges and whatnot, Comic-Con and WonderCon are the two conventions that we have yet to still qualify for press. It's eluded us. We can get to any other convention as press. But like, even if I didn't get tickets to the, through the badge sales, I told people, I'm just going to hold up at the Hilton Bayfront and do mm-hmm. 4-day podcast at Starbucks. I don't mind doing that, because you never know what can happen. So I don't have a set game plan yet, but there are definitely some artists out there that I want to get on the show. And even if it's just like a 5-minute conversation, we can piece it together into a podcast or like some video that we can put on YouTube. But it's going to be totally random. It's going to be whatever we see that interests us at that given moment. Yeah. We're just gonna go for it, and I think that's the beauty of it, being able to just off the cuff just do something. I think that's gonna be the funniest.
Always have your recorder ready for anything that comes up.
Yeah, and like going back to the smartphone. There's so much that you can do with it now. It's like incredible. I mean, I have a digital recorder, but I think I can just. We can just probably just go off my smartphone now.
Yeah, I mean, they usually have pretty good cameras.
Yeah, for sure.
And even for audio.
Right. But really, going back to Comic-Con, you know, like I said, it's I'm looking forward to like the random experience, but I'm also looking forward to connecting with people like, you know, such as yourself. You know, I want to meet you in person, you know?
Yeah, that'll be great to meet you there.
Yeah, I see Leonard only once a year, and yeah. I almost didn't see him last year. So there's people like him, like Tony Kim and Alyssa, the Mighty Jared. I want to see him again. People who follow SDCC Fit. That's another thing. I've had so many memorable experiences concerning SDCC Fit. Last year, me and Alex were having lunch somewhere. I think it was one of the hotels. We just happened to be chilling at the lobby. You know, we're just talking, planning out our day. And then someone comes up to us. Her name, it turns out to be a person named Meg Worrell. She follows the SDCC Fit hashtag. And she had seen me eating with Alex. She goes down the escalator and she decides to come back up to say hi. So I'm like, wow. And that, I mean, I don't want to say it almost brought a tear to my eye, but I don't know, I felt it, you know. It was such a wonderful moment that's humbling, really. And then another thing happened. I parked, I think it was the next day probably. I had parked and then I was walking across the street to go to the convention center. I was on my phone talking to somebody. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see somebody come up to me. And it turns out to be Kevin Waldwin. He's the current editor-in-chief for the Friends of CC blog that Alyssa runs.
Yeah.
And he's into, you know, lifting weights, to fitness as well. And he's a big contributor to the SDCC Fit movement as well, and comes up to me. And he says, "I heard your voice." Because I was talking on the phone, you know, and so you know we shot the breeze for a few minutes, and it was just like, wow, what are the chances of like I'm walking across the street and somebody that I know is walking across the street with me and it recognizes my voice?
Yeah, and they pick you out like that.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, that's such an incredible moment. So it's just little moments like that. It's just wow, it's really
yeah, and that's cool for like the Hall H show to know that, you know, to meet listeners that way, but especially for SDC Fit,
right.
For them to come and find you, like to know that you're, it's definitely making a difference.
Yeah, for sure. And that's another thing. Sometimes I forget that, you know, people actually listen to the show. Yeah. You know, I'm humbled that somebody, at least one person, you know, hears it on a regular basis, let it know more. I think to this date, I think I was looking at our stats. We've only had maybe 1,400 downloads of our show, but we started back in November last year. So that's even humbling for me. I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of leads us into half of one of the questions I was going to ask you.
Okay.
So you answered a couple cool fan experiences on the other side as far as people recognizing you.
Uh-huh.
What's been your best fan experience on the other side of you meeting someone that you really love?
My biggest fan experience? That's a good question. From my perspective, like I said, you know, when it comes to like celebrity fandom, you know, for me, it's the artists that are celebrities for me. So I've been, it's kind of hard for me to sort of, you know, with that in mind, it's hard for me to sort of say, you know, this artist was my favorite because they all sort of contribute. And I feel like they're all like really awesome experiences for me. But I guess I'll go with a most recent experience. We were at Comic-Con Revolution and, I don't know if you know who Sean Richter is.
Yep.
He's a cosplayer.
Yeah.
We've had him on the show, him and his son, him and Gavin. And, it seems like we sort of stumble upon him at shows when he's picking up, commissioned artwork that he's asked other artists to sort of, do for him. So, we were at WonderCon and we saw him pick up artwork that he asked Patrick Ballesteros to do. So that was kind of a cool moment, which he talked about on our podcast that he asked Patrick to do something for him. And just to, you know, go to Artist Alley and then we see him and Patrick talking. I said, cool. we got to capture this on video, you know. So which we did. We posted on YouTube, and we talked to them for a little bit. And then when we, you know, got to Comic Con Revolution, we were going up and down Artist Alley. We see, this was near toward the end of the day on Saturday, because it was a one day event. So it was the last day. So we were, you know, going down Artist Alley, and then I was kind of looking for you know, things like a pie pickup. And he was talking to an artist named Todd Knock. I don't know if you know who that is. Mm-hmm. He's a really prolific comic book artist, but he goes to a lot of shows, and he does a lot of Spider-Man, and he's one of Sean's favorite artists. So he had asked Todd to do something for him, and we're there. Yeah. And the reason why I bring up Todd is because I had attended a panel about art, and he had a bunch of different artists on that panel as well. He had T-Bear, he had what else was on that show? But a whole slew of, like, it was like such an awesome panel, and you could tell that they all loved each other and they enjoyed each other's company, because it might have been the most hilarious, fun panel, that featured artists that I've ever been to. You know, just I it was such an awesome panel. Like, they're just freaking hilarious, you know. And so after going to that panel, and then going to Artist Alley, and then seeing him and Todd talk, because I kind of thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to get Todd on the show, right? So Sean's talking to Todd, and I know Sean, so I kind of use that as my in, you know. So after Sean and Todd talk, I take a few pictures, blah blah, and I say, okay, I take your picture of all of them together. I say, cool. And then it turns out Todd was also one of the artists that contributed to the Hero Initiative Ninja Turtle book. So Alex got that signed as well. So we talked for a few minutes. I asked him if, you know, he'd be willing to be on the show sometimes. So, yeah, cool. So, I don't know. It's just little experiences like that. Those mean a lot to me. So, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, especially as you kind of get to know more of the community. Like, you're interviewing different artists, and then you get to meet the people they know and grow. You get to meet even more people that way, kind of growing your growing your network.
Right. But I will, I guess, looking back to, I guess, celebrities that I met throughout my San Diego Comic Con years, I do remember meeting Rosario Dawson one time. So I think that's a definite highlight for me. That was back in maybe, 2006 or 2007 or something like that. So before the podcast, but
yeah.
I think she was promoting a comic book that she created.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, this has been awesome, Aaron. I don't want to keep you for too much longer.
You can keep me as long as you want, man.
Yeah, I know you're used to the 2 hours of talking. So I know you're not, you won't wear down. But do you?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's interesting. I never get really used to it. I'm usually the interviewer.
Yeah,
it's so different being the interviewee, you know.
Good experience, I hope.
Oh, of course, yeah. So far, that was good.
So yeah, do you have one piece of advice for someone just starting out, either starting a podcast or a blog, or
one piece of advice? I guess for me is, don't be afraid to fail, because you will fail. I mean, we've done so a few times. We've had like audio cut out for like halfway in between a show, and you had to start over. So don't be afraid to fail. I mean, that's the only way you'll learn. Don't be a perfectionist, because if you wait for the right moment, you probably won't get anything done, really. So I mean, I think that's, for me, that's probably the best advice I could probably give somebody. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be such a perfectionist, and take chances. You never know what might happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is just kind of getting started and things are going to go, like, that is definitely a fear of mine of, like, having a great interview and then having to call them up and being like, none of that recorded. But it happens to everyone. It'll happen at some point.
Right. And, I mean, to be quite honest, you know, I'm not the social butterfly myself, but doing this podcasting has really, you know, it really challenged me to sort of take a step out and engage with people and, you know, get out of that shell a little bit. And I've enjoyed the ride so far. I didn't know I'd enjoy this so much, quite frankly. And for me, it's all about, you know, the story and our guest, trying to get them to sort of be comfortable and, you know, be honest. I think that's an important thing. And once they're done with our show, you know, I try to keep in touch with them as well. It's not just like, okay, that's it. Later. Nah, these are relationships I want to keep, you know, for a long time. So, keep in mind that, you know, when you're trying to get content for your show, it's really not about you. It's about the people that you're trying to get on the show. And, it's an exchange. Mm-hmm. You're asking them to be on the show and you need to do something for them too, you know? And when they're done with the show, like I said, foster that relationship because A, you know, chances are they might be a good guest to have on your show again. And B, they may know people as well that can contribute to your show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't be afraid about networking. And, going back to networking, you know, we've talked about Tony Kim in the past. His Game of Bloggers event at San Diego Comic Con. Occasions like that are just such an awesome time to connect with other content creators. That plus, if you ever get a chance to attend, there's an artist, his name is Brian Tillman. He's based out of Baltimore. He does a panel every so often on how to pitch and promote yourself. I learned so much on that, on his panel. And one thing that resonates me, and I never forgot, there's one reason why I decided to be more active and trying to, you know, push myself out there is when you're at Comic-Con, I mean, there's really no reason for you to be shy or awkward because you're with your tribe. you're already with other, you know, like-minded nerds. And so you shouldn't have a
perfect place to come out of your shell, even without a show to try to promote.
Exactly.
It's just everyone there is interested in the same stuff.
Exactly. So that stuck with me. And I kind of thought that's perfect. That's sometimes it takes people to sort of show you the light, and what you do with that is really, it's up to you now, you know, take that first step.
Yeah. Awesome. One final question. If you had one piece of advice for making the most out of San Diego Comic-Con, what would it be? I think based on this interview, my follow-up is I'm going to spend a little more time in Artist Alley, but if you had something else.
Well, don't just go there for the show. Come and enjoy the town. You know, if you can't afford it, you know, spend a couple of days, you know, either before the con or after, just explore, because the San Diego has a lot to offer. to be honest with you, I'm a little biased. I live here, so and get some good Mexican food. Yeah. But in terms, I guess, you know, being specific about San Diego Comic Con, I mean, you said it already. Go to Artist Alley. And I know people are always trying to, you know, get in line for Hall H. There's other things out there besides Hall H. There's so many things to do. Even outside events, like Nerdist has a few events that you don't have to have. Even if you didn't get tickets to San Diego Comic Con, I believe you don't need a badge to go to those offsite events. So there's always a lot of stuff going on in the Gaslamp District. Like I said before, you know, even if I didn't get a badge, I'd just hold up at Starbucks and do a podcast there. And I was going to roam around, you know, Gaslamp, trying to drum up content that way, just interview random people. There's always something to do. There's a lot of the studios even rent out the restaurants and bars, you know, itself, and they have their own, you know, special, you know, event. So there's always something on. It's a big party. I think there's just be mindful that the Comic Con is much more than Hall H, really. I guess that's all I can say.
Yeah. And I would definitely go no matter whether I got tickets or not. I've been a couple times with friends who have not gotten every day or, and they, you know, they're off at the zoo or the beach or doing some of the offsite events, and I haven't gotten to do any of that yet because I'm waiting for a year where I don't get all tickets. But there's still so much to do in the city and offsites, carnival.
Right. I mean, it's also about the panels. I mean, take your time, do your research, and look at the panels that are going to be in there. Like the panel that led me to the International Mobile Film Festival. You know, if I didn't attend that one, who knows what might have happened. Mm-hmm. Be on the lookout for those small type of panels. We always go to another panel called Quick Draw. It's basically, you know, Sergio Argonez and Scott Shaw. This hilarious little, you know, panel where it's hosted by Mark Evanier. Mark Evanier, if you don't know who he is, he's, you know, he's been around. He knows his history. He's worked with Jack Kirby. So he's connected with all these, you know, legends like Scott Shaw and Sergio Argonez and Floyd Norman. Speaking of Floyd Norman, if we didn't go to that Quick Draw that he was in, like Alex shows up in Floyd Norman's documentary in the background. So just if you're on Netflix, watch Floyd Norman's documentary, and Alex shows up there. Unfortunately, I would have been there too, but I was walking around taking pictures of everybody on that panel. Man. So so they sort of scanned the audience, and Alex is right there, so it's pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, you know, enjoy the experience. There's so much you can enjoy. Obviously, if you're into Hall H, you know, more power to you. But there's definitely more things to do at Comic-Con that you're bound to find something to, you know, tickle your fancy, I'm sure.
Yeah. So explore outside Hall H from the Hall H show.
Right. people are so like when I first meet people who haven't heard of us, and they know who what Hall H is, they're so sort of taken aback a little bit, and then I tell them my little spiel, and they go, oh cool, awesome, you know. So it's weird that we sort of taken a 180 of what people usually expect of what Hall H is.
Yeah. And it's a good, you know, it's the Hall H for the artists. But yeah, that's really cool. So where can people learn more about you and connect with you?
Obviously, hallh.com is our website, and on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, we're all under hallh.com and sort of spelled it out. Hall H D O T C O M. Also, if you follow SDCC Fit, there's a Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram account for SDCC Fit. Just look up the hashtag as well. And for myself, I have my own social media. It's my full name, Aaron Nabus, two A's, RONNABUS. And I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And I do a little bit of, I kind of post all the things that I'm into. So I'll do a little bit of Hall H stuff. I'll do SDCC Fit stuff. And also do, like I said, I'm a graphic designer. So I'll do a lot of graphic design related, also social media related things. Speaking of social media, I guess some other things that I can share to your audience, and what's helped me when I was thinking about making a podcast myself, is there's a few podcasts that I follow myself. It's go to follow a person named Chase Jarvis. He's a photographer. And if I ever did like a podcast that was specifically about design, I would totally copy his podcast. Because he also does a video version of it, and it's like black and white. And I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. He's a photographer by nature, but he has all the big, like, creative people, you know, that, you know, like photographers, actors. He's had Adrien Grenier from, you know, The Entourage on there. He's had a few other people, such as another podcaster that I follow. His name is Gary Vaynerchuk. With Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, the first book I think I read was The Thank You Economy, which is why I tout, you know, being thankful all the time and showing gratitude, is because you never know what gratitude can give you in the future. You know, it's one of those things where you got to show people love, and it may not happen immediately, but eventually something good will happen out of it, I think. And it was through Gary that I sort of copy his philosophy of, you know, jab, jab, right hook. And what that means is your jabs are your content, your free content, or the best content that you can put out there. And then your hook is like, say, you know, we don't sell anything right now, but eventually one day we might. So you're giving up all your best content on a consistent basis. You know, it's relatively free. And that one time you ask for something, you know, for your audience to, you know, maybe buy something that you've created is your hook. And the reason why that's important is because a lot of people ask for the hook right off the bat. You know, it's like going to a social event or a networking event. And before you even introduce yourself, you say, "Hey, would you like to buy my product?" Now, it doesn't work that way. So you need to sort of get to know, you know, your audience and the people that you interact with. So that's why jab, jab, right hook is such, it's a simple philosophy, but, you know, I dig it. And I tell people that all the time. You need to interact with people more often and get to know them. And so Chase Jarvis, Gary Vaynerchuk, those are two people that I highly recommend people checking out. There's another person named, let me look him up right now. His website, or his podcast is called Smart Passive Income.
Pat Flynn, yeah.
Yeah, Pat Flynn, yeah. He's a native San Diego guy. Yeah, he's awesome. I follow him a lot as well. So those three people should help you get started with, you know, coming up with content on your own, and also with podcasting advice as well. So
yeah, I went through a little bit of Pat Flynn's new book, Will It Fly, when I was thinking about this podcast. And then Gary Vaynerchuk, the Jab, 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 Right Hook book that's probably the best way to explain social media to anyone. So
exactly, yeah.
So awesome. Yeah, those are I'll add all those names into the show notes because I now have a lot of homework, and I'm sure hopefully people listening will check out some of those people.
Oh, and another reason why our podcasts are so long is because I don't know if you listen to Joe Rogan's podcast.
Nope.
Well, if you should check it out. It's crazy. His podcast is all over the spectrum. He has comedians. He has like fitness people. He has MMA people. He has like people of all, you know, political, you know, beliefs. It's really all over the place. And his podcasts are between 2 to 3 hours. Yeah. So, you know, obviously the Hall H show is pretty long sometimes. And so I kind of thought, you know what? I guess it doesn't really matter how long our shows are, as long as we're having a good time, you know? And I took a lot of, I took his show as an example of that type of situation, because I'm always amazed at how he can like converse with people for such a long time. I mean, for one thing, he's a pretty sharp guy himself. So, I think he has the chops to sort of, you know, keep the conversation going. but I took a lot of inspiration from his show alongside the other shows that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that's what I've been kind of experimenting with my length, or debating about it, because like his show goes really long. Tim Ferriss's shows go.
Oh,
you know,
I love Tim Ferriss. Imagine him. Yeah, Tim Ferriss. Yes.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, like Pat Flynn's, you know, hour and a half, and Gary Vaynerchuk is like a minute to 5 minutes. Like,
yeah, he has little spurts. You know, he's the whole Gary Vee experience now. I think that's what he's positioning it. But either way, no matter how long your show is, what matters is that you're having fun doing it. And, you know, here's another piece of advice that I can give. And this is what I usually tell young designers when I'm mentoring them, is from my perspective anyway, there's an old like blues saxophonist. His name is Cannonball Adderley. And his sort of philosophy when he was performing live was, you know, I give the audience 50% of what they want, and I give them 50% of what I think they need. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I kind of twist it a little bit when I'm working with a client or something, because, you know, I kind of position myself as a consultant, right? So I kind of say, you know, I give my client 40% of what they want to hear and 60% of what I think they need. So I think don't be too scared of how your audience is going to be. You know, think of how you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And your audience will find you.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, is just create a show that you would actually want to listen to. And...
exactly.
Awesome. All right, yeah, that's good advice to close it up on. So, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, and this is an open invitation to you. We'd love to have you on our show sometime soon.
I am game. Thanks.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
Wow, awesome interview with Aaron from the Hall H Show. There was so much great info in there, and the show notes will have a ton of names, because he highlighted a lot of great creators and a lot of other entrepreneurs. You know, like Tony Kim and like the Mighty Jerd, and also just some general business podcasts, which I think, which I love a bunch of the ones that he mentioned, and I think it's a really great way for people thinking of their geek brand like a business to look at some of those podcasts for advice. A couple things that stood out to me on the show. I liked when he talked about his interview process. He had he would create, like, you know, 10 questions that he wants to ask the person, and then maybe only ask 5 of them based on how the conversation goes. And I think that is a really great fit, especially for his for their podcast, where, you know, it is kind of a natural flow of the conversation. Because you want to cover the things that, you know, interest you about that person and the reason that you had them on the show to begin with, but you want it to flow naturally in the conversation. And that's definitely something that I'm working on for my own show, as far as, you know, keeping it a lot of value for you, but also, having it be that natural flow. And, you know, the other thing he mentioned was, you know, having different parts of the, you know, different, like, the Art Watch round and different, like, Thunder rounds, and ways to break up his show so that that he and Alex are able to kind of keep it fresh for a couple hours. And yeah, I think the other thing that I mentioned at in the intro, but I really wanted to, and, you know, we talked about it throughout the show, but I really wanted to stress again, is their mission, which I think is really important. To not only have a mission, but always just be keeping it in mind. So because they have such the clear mission of what they want Hall H to represent and to be, kind of helps guide them on choosing, reaching out to different guests, and on kind of choosing directions for the show and for the brand in general. So I think that's a really cool way for them to go about it. So yeah, I'll include everything that Aaron and I discussed in the show notes, as well as links to everything everywhere that you can find him. the main one being, you know, just heading over to hallh.com. So this week, in sharing a little bit of my own journey, I wanted to talk about the different ways that I've started to promote the podcast. So right now, I'm just it's keeping it pretty simple. I promote it on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And Twitter is definitely where I've seen the most success so far. Just because, you know, that's the best way to really reach out to people and kind of get a conversation going so far that I've found. The thing that I'm experimenting with that's new this week is on Instagram. So I have been posting, when I post the podcast, I'll put a weekly Instagram post out there to promote it to that audience with a link to the podcast in the show notes. And this week, what I've done is I created a little video clip to tease the episode to that audience. So instead of just seeing a picture, they can actually listen to a brief excerpt from the interview and hopefully get hooked enough to head on in. I learned this trick from another Instagrammer and podcaster, Nerd Chronic. So they have a great show and a cool Instagram channel that I recommend you go checking out. And for my own podcast, I just used a picture that I then added some audio with using Windows Movie Maker. And it's good enough for now. I would definitely like to make it look a little bit better, but this was kind of a first pass at it. I've seen programs that can do it a little bit better, and Nerd Chronic actually uses Buzzsprout as their podcast hosting site, and they provide a service that just automatically creates this really cool video that is definitely more engaging. So I would definitely recommend not only checking out that channel as just some good inspiration in their podcast, but, you know, kind of experimenting. If you are using a podcast in Instagram, experimenting with how you can create some video and promote that a little bit better. So this is a new thing for me. So I will let you know in future episodes how that evolves, and if I find some different solutions that I like, and if I start to see success with it, I will keep you posted. So next week on the show, we're going to be talking to Mulehorn Gaming. So Wade from Mulehorn Gaming came on and gave so much great advice about podcasting. I mentioned some of that advice that I got from him last week on the show, and he definitely helped improve the processes that I use for my own show a lot. And we talk about all that next week, so definitely stay tuned. If you liked this episode, be sure to give us a rating and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you might be listening from. You can also reach out directly on Twitter at Under the Capes, or head over to underthecapes.com. And all the show notes for this episode will be at underthecapes.com/episode5. So until next week, thanks for listening. Have a good one.